on with a sermon that we started almost a year ago, back in August of 2025, and it was titled Developing a Taste of God, or a Taste for God in Our Children. Developing a Taste for God in Our Children. We talked a little about our taste buds and how your tongue hosts about 2,000 to 10,000 taste buds. I guess they're not all the same. I'm not sure how many I have. I've never counted them. Your taste buds live about 10 to 14 days, and then you grow new ones, so they're constantly regenerating. The Bible talks about taste. In Psalm 34, verse 8, it says, "O taste and see that the Lord is good." 1 Peter 2, verse 3 says, "If so be that ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious." Psalm 119, verse 103, "How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth." How do we develop a taste for God in our children? Do they come pre-programmed with a love for God and His Word? Is it possible for them to be given a false taste of God and as a result want nothing to do with Him? Helping them develop a taste for God is critical. It's imperative to their eternal destiny. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6. I'd like to take our points from these verses here again this morning. Ephesians chapter 6. I'd like to read verses 1 to 10. And I would just say this, if you're here this morning and you don't have children yet, or your children have grown up and you're in the grandmother or granddaddy stage, you can apply these principles, you can apply them to your personal life, because we are all children of God here this morning. So Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 to 10, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart, as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." All right, I'd like to look at 4 points. We looked at the first one almost a year ago. And we used an apple as an illustration, and so I brought an apple along again. It's a nice red apple. Courtney and Walt picked it up for me at Safeway yesterday. And then we were at the neighbor's last night for a campfire, and they have an apple tree there as well. And so I picked some apples off of their apple tree. And these are the apples that I got off of their apple tree. And I thought, well, I'm going to bring them along this morning, because this is the goal, is to take these little apples and eventually have them look like one like this. All right? And that's the process that we want to discuss a little here this morning. So we'll just lay those two right there. First message, we looked at seed selection, which was introducing our children to God. That was the first sermon. Then the second, today we'd like to look at the second part of the apple, which is the skin. And we're going to term that as skin protection, because that's what skin does. It protects, which we want to refer to as disciplining and discipling our children for God. And then the third point is stem connection. This apple does have a stem. It's down in the center here. You can't see it very well, but it's the connection. It's the part. The weight of this apple, that stem is so strong that this apple will hang from the tree by that stem. And that's stem connection, which is dedicated to connecting our children with God. And then finally, sweet reflection, developing character, that reflects God's character, and that is the meat of the apple, the part of it that we like to eat. Here in Ephesians 6, verse 4, God gives the fathers responsibility to bring up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Of course, both parents are involved in this. It's something that works much better if there's a mom and a dad working together at it. Proverbs 22, verse 6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." That word train, I don't know if you remember from last time, but the word train is the Hebrew word shanak, which, according to its usage in ancient times, had four different meanings or four elements of meaning. The first meant to dedicate. It was used in the Old Testament with the primary idea of being of inauguration or something that happened when a priest was dedicated. It fits with this idea of developing our children, developing a taste for God in them. The second idea of shanak is to throttle or to make narrow and discipline. So that also fits with the word train, because that's what training does. Thirdly is the idea of instruction. And then fourthly, the word shanak or train, it has the idea of initiating or creating an appetite. And I don't know if you remember or not, but one of the practices that Arab or Hebrew midwives did was they would take a little bit of olive oil and they would rub the palate of an infant to develop a taste. I guess just to create an appetite. It's one of the things they did. So another meaning that fits with the word train. In seed selection, there was two main things we looked at that are important when we're talking about sowing seeds. The seeds of the apple are at the core. They're at the center. Two main things. The first one was we must teach them to heed, which is found in verse 1, children obey. They don't come pre-programmed knowing this. So that's the parents' duty, is teach them to obey. I mean, you get that straight, a lot of the rest of life will fall into place. And secondly, is to teach them to honor. And verse 2 talks about this, honor thy father and mother. If you can get your children to the place, train them, teach them where they honor others, honor God, honor others. I think our verses this morning in our text there in Sunday school talked about honoring. We can get our children to develop character that honors others. Again, a very important thing for them to learn. All right, so skin protection, disciplining, and discipling our children for God. This apple has a peeling. It has a skin. It covers the fruit. Without this skin, this apple wouldn't look very good. I'm just trying to see if it says where it comes from. There's a SKU code on there, but there's a chance this apple comes from California or Mexico. And if it didn't have a skin on it, it wouldn't be something you'd want to eat. All right, that skin protects the meat of the apple. Actually, the peeling, the skin, has more vitamins and nutrients than the actual meat of the apple. So don't throw the peelings away. You need to eat the peelings because they're good for you. They're rich in vitamin A and C and K, and there's potassium and phosphorus and calcium in the skin of the apple. So make sure you eat the peelings. Loving discipline is as critical to our children as the skin is to the apple. And without it, they will decay. Without it, they will go backward. And, you know, we as adults need it too. In fact, the scripture teaches that discipline is one of the signs of God's love for us when he brings discipline into our lives. Don't run away. Don't despise the chastening of the Lord, because it's a sign of his love. There's lots of live demonstrations in our world today of what happens when you throw the peelings away or when you throw discipline away. You don't have to go very far, and you can see the consequences and the results of when there is no discipline. Remember, one of the meanings of the word train, one of the meanings of the word shanak, is to throttle or to make narrow to discipline. So discipline is the practice and method of teaching and enforcing acceptable patterns of behavior. Discipline is not a negative word. It's very, very positive. Now, it doesn't always feel positive, but the results, the consequences are positive if it's done in God's prescribed manner, okay? It's got to be done the way God says it should be done, or it isn't positive. Now, the throttle on your tractor or your truck is simply a pedal or a lever that regulates and controls the amount of fuel that enters the engine. So you let more fuel enter, and you get more power. That's how it works. Imagine how it would be trying to drive your truck or your car without a throttle. I mean, it'd just be wide open all the time. I drove a friend's snowmobile one time. This is back when I was a teenager. He had bought this used snowmobile, and we were trying this thing out. And I was roaring down the field, and the thing was wide open. Of course, you know, that's how we like to drive them, right? It's wide open. Well, I all of a sudden discovered that this throttle is stuck, and this thing is not going to stop. And we were coming up to a ditch at the end of the field, and I wanted to turn, and this thing was wide open. So you know what I did? I didn't even think of hitting the kill switch. I just rolled off the back. And that snowmobile, it went across that ditch, it hit the other side, it went up flying up in the air. I can still see it going, and it landed down on its side on the other side of the ditch. Well, as parents, you're like your children's throttle. You regulate and you enforce acceptable patterns of behavior. This morning, our children will destroy themselves if we don't. If there's no regulation, if there's no throttle in their life, they're going to destroy themselves. And it starts when they're small. I remember my wife, she would, with our little ones, when they wanted to, even soon after they were born, when they wanted to squirm and fuss and carry on, if their needs were met and there was no diaper pin poking them or, you know, nothing wrong, she would just hold them tight. She would just hold them tight and let them know what being throttled feels like, or being governed feels like. And I encourage you to do the same. Don't allow your little ones to flail and fuss around and carry on. Give them the security of just holding them tight. I remember also with our babies, my wife would train them to have scheduled feeding times. And this might not work for every situation. I'm not here to say that it's an across-the-board pattern that works, but I believe in large it does. If your baby's healthy, you should not need to see every hour of the night all night long. If it is that way, maybe the wrong person is controlling the throttle. Training has the idea of making narrow. It has the idea of setting parameters. A child craves that kind of security. I mean, don't let them have all the sugar they can eat. If you come home from the school picnic with a bag of candy from the candy scramble, and I'm sure you are all doing this. I'm just throwing it out there. Set a limit. Maybe it's one a day, maybe it's one a week. But be that throttle, be that governor, set parameters, set boundaries that they understand. When our children were growing up, we had a fence post. It was a fence post or a tree, I forget. But there was a spot on the driveway. We lived along a busy road. There was a spot on the driveway that they could not go past with their bikes or with the ATV. That fence post was the line. And they understood that. And I think everybody was safer, everybody was happier because there was a line. Have a schedule, mealtime, bedtime, nap time. get them to bed in good time. This is just practical ways. It's pretty easy for a school teacher to tell which family has a disciplined schedule. So make sure that your family is one of them. Don't tolerate bickering and arguing and lying and physical hitting or slapping or biting. Don't tolerate it. You don't need to. Teach them to be neat, to make their bed. There's a motivational speaker. He's a retired military general. And one of the keys to success in life, this is what he says, is one of the first things you do is learn how to make your bed. How many of you made your bed this morning? I didn't make mine either. My wife did, but I didn't. Manners are important. I know of one family that he would give his children a dime. When they were sitting at the dinner table, he gave them a dime, and he said, of course, this was the hand they weren't using to eat, I believe, but he would give them a dime, and they had to keep that dime pinched between their elbow and their side when they were sitting there, just to teach them not to sit at the table with their elbows on the table. These are just practical things that makes a difference in our children's mentality. You see, God has boundaries. God has perimeters for his children, and it's for their happiness and for their security. Jesus said, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth to life, and few there be that find it. So there you have it. As God's children, he's got perimeters, he's got boundaries for us, and it's for our own good. You know, the more we can help train our children to discipline their appetites and their moods and their emotions, the better prepared they are to live the Christian life and to deal with the challenges of their passions and relationships and temptations. And you know, the foundation for that starts when they're small. It starts when they're little. Proverbs 13, verse 24, it speaks about law enforcement here a little bit. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Proverbs 22, verse 15, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Proverbs 23, 13, and 14, withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod, and shall deliver his soul from hell. That's how serious it is. That's how serious it is. That is an eternal issue. Godly, loving discipline is an eternal issue. I remember some of the disciplines that I received. Mums felt like a mosquito bite, and dads felt like a hornet sting. And, well, I didn't enjoy either of them, I suppose, but Mom and Dad, you know all of this, but make sure you're not angry. Make sure you're not frustrated, because that spirit will transfer to your child and it's going to be counterproductive and it's going to produce bitterness. Make sure it hurts. Don't just slap your children around. Sometimes parents just kind of give them a whop and slap them around and treat the child like they're a piece of Play-Doh. That's not effective. Make sure it hurts. Make sure it is not abusive, but make sure they can feel what it is. Find a private place. Be in control of the situation. If there's kicking and screaming and wailing and flailing, then you're not in control and you haven't accomplished what you set out to do. I used to tell our children that this will stop when you quit kicking. So, just a little practical advice. Discipline should last long enough until you feel them give up, then stop, give them a hug, and enjoy the precious gift of a free child. The opposite is also true. Where there is good behavior, reward them. Reward them. I believe good behavior should be rewarded. Of course it's expected, but it should also be rewarded. If they share, they do something good, compliment them. They need to learn the consequence of both good and bad behavior. You know, how different the world would be if the children that are in it could enjoy the gift of a free conscience. And how different adults would be today if they could enjoy the gift of a free conscience. You know, there's so many physical, emotional, trauma issues, problems that people live with, that people develop because they do not have a free conscience. And I think it's important that we give our children that gift. You can use other methods for less serious misdemeanors like timeout, withheld privileges. There is a place for that. But be careful with avoiding the rod. It takes time. It isn't fun. But this morning, the world will tell you you don't need it anymore. They'll tell you it's outdated. Look at the results. If you want to know whether it's working or not, just look at the results. God's way works when it's done in His way. Another thing, be very careful with the world's ideas about therapy and reward-induced behavior and counseling to train. Be very, very careful what you buy into with those theories. Verse 9 talks about forbearing threatening. It's used in the context of business, but I think the principle is the same. Don't threaten. I mean what you say. Don't bargain. Don't yell. Don't use sarcasm. Don't make a threat that you never planned to carry out, because it produces calloused, insecure children. Because they never know when the threat is going to happen. They never know when the hammer is going to fall. And they do know that when dad's voice or mom's voice reaches a certain decibel, then it's time to back off a little bit. But that's not the kind of obedience that's not how God operates. God don't threaten. He don't yell. That's not how our Heavenly Father operates. And as fathers and mothers, we cannot either. Threatening is lying because you say something with the intention of intimidating a response and never plan to follow through with it. How can our children trust our word if we threaten, if we make threats that we never follow through on? Well, correct thy son and he shall give thee rest. He shall give delight unto thy soul. All right, on to number 3. To develop a taste for God in our children, there must be stem connection. So that's where the little stem up here comes in. And we must be dedicated to connecting our children with God. That is our goal. That is what Christian parents, that is the bottom line of what we're trying to do, is bring our children to the place where that stem will go from us to God. And that transition is something that happens probably in the first 13, 14 years of their lives, 15, whatever time they come to the age of accountability and give their heart to God. You want that stem to transfer to Jesus Christ. So talks here about bringing them up, verse 4, bring them up. When you bring someone along, you accompany them, you carry them, you go along with them, you bring them along with you. The idea of bring means to attract something. Deuteronomy 6 verse 7 says, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. This is talking about the word of God, the statutes of God. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And I don't really see any time out in that verse. That just means all the time. Deuteronomy 6, verse 7 also uses the word diligently. Teach them diligently. Be intentional. This is not a hit and miss. I feel like it today and I don't feel like it tomorrow, and that's not how it works. It must be diligently. It has the idea of, it uses the word inculcate. You ever heard of inculcate? It has the idea of drilling into. And when I think of inculcate, I think of pressure-treated lumber. Some pressure-treated lumber, especially ground contact or in-ground pressure-treated, is inculcated. That means it's incised, okay? It's cut, it's sliced, there's a pattern to it, but it's sliced so that it lets the pressure-treated penetration into the wood to preserve it. And it has the idea of doing, of fixing something firmly into somebody's mind through forceful repetition. So the Jews and the Muslims, they are especially good at this. In traditional Jewish education, students by around the age of 10 would have learned and memorized the complete Torah, which are the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, by the time you're 10. Oh, there's parents that get owly when their children have to learn a little too much Bible memory. Well, they're going to fill their heads with something. To develop a taste for God, we must be connected to God ourselves. And we've been challenged with this thought already this morning. Father, mother, here this morning, your children see the Heavenly Father in your life. Do they see his loving kindness? Do they see his mercy? Do they see his care? Do they see his truth? Do they see his patience permeating your life? Do they see the effects of your relationship with him? Is what is coming from your life something they want? And you, this morning, we can't fake the real thing. We certainly aren't going to fool our children. Unconditional love. We love God not because we can use him to get out of life what we want, but we love him because of his love for us and what he's done for us. Love is expressed in many ways. One of the ways it's probably expressed the best is by sacrificing time. I know time is a valuable commodity today. There's people that get paid a lot of money for their time. I still remember my dad. He built a kite. He tried to build a kite with us. I was probably 6 or 7 years old. I can still remember it. I still remember that he used 2x4s and old fertilizer bags, old plastic fertilizer bags, and tried to build this kite. And we took it out. We lived on a farm with a big hill off to the one side just across from the house. And we tried taking it out there one windy day. He put a string on it and tied bags on the string for the tail. And we tried to fly this thing. And I think it maybe went up maybe 10 feet off the ground. And it never flew. It never really went up in the air. But, you know, I still remember that because of the time he took, the time he spent with us. He took us fishing back to the old steel bridge. We dug worms, and we had old rods. We didn't have fancy rods. We had old rods that didn't work very well, but we caught red fins. We caught chubs back there in the creek. I remember that because of the time he spent with us. Disciplining them, training takes time. Listening to their little woes and heartaches takes time. Drawing your teenagers out and listening to their struggles takes time. And one thing I would add to that, and I've been trying to learn this by experience, is you don't have to have a lot of advice. You know, sometimes as parents we think, well, you know, so they start telling us their woes. Well, if you do this and this and this. No. You want them to keep talking, you just be quiet and you listen. And you maybe offer a little something at the end of it or whatever. But they don't like listening to a preacher. Family devotions takes time. You know, it wasn't that long ago. That we sang out of that little yellow songbook, you know. That little yellow songbook where we sang, God takes care of me every day. And over and over,
we'd sing those songs. And, you know, they seem simple. It seems like maybe it's a waste of time, but you're instilling something into your children. Principles, foundational principles, they're going to take with them. Your children see you taking time for God. Very important. And the verses we read from Deuteronomy just tell us that there's no escape from that, and we don't want to. Make sure it happens. All right, the last point is sweet reflection. So developing character that reflects God's character, and that's where you take this apple. And this is going to be a good apple. I can tell by the way it cuts. It's a nice, firm. I don't like spongy apples. Maybe you do, but I like when they're firm and crisp, and this one's like that. But that's what we're after, for the inside of that apple to look like that. That's what we want. Developing character, sweet reflection, character that reflects God's character. That's the goal. That's what we're after. Developing character that reflects God's character. And I think these verses are full of that. In verse 5, it talks about in singleness of heart as unto Christ. Verse 6 talks about as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. And then verse 7, with good will, doing service as unto the Lord and not unto men. And if you can get a child, if your children can come to the place in life where that, what we just read, describes their character, describes their attitude, then you've accomplished, with God's help, what he wants you to accomplish. Notice all those things here that Ephesians 6 talks about. They have to do with the heart. They have to do with the mind. They're all related to the character and to the attitude of a person. You know, if this apple was filled with worms, they could be likened to the worms of sin and selfishness. Or this apple was, I don't like bruised apples. If I get to a bruised spot, I'll bite it out and spit it out. I just don't like brown, soft spots in the apple. And those could be likened to the attitude of self-pity or snobbiness. That's not the character of God. But a sweet reflection of God's character, of the part that gives back, is an asset to society and to the kingdom of God. That is our goal. That's our vision. That's what we are aiming for. You know, these verses are in the context of a work environment, but I tell you, that is where real character is seen. That is where the rubber meets the road. You can tell. You can tell a lot about a person by how they work and with the kind of attitude they work. Well, as you as parents develop a taste for God in your children, our goal is that they would begin to love the taste. Remember that picture of the midwife putting that olive oil paste on the roof of that infant's mouth. And our goal is that they would love the taste and start to pursue it on their own. And that as they grow and mature, they would choose God, the God of their father, the God of their mother, to be their God, to be their Heavenly Father. That they would have a single heart, a sincere heart, a heart without dissimulation, a heart that is not self-seeking. I believe that's what dissimulation means, is self-seeking, where it's self that is at the core instead of God, instead of the principles of His Word. A heart that is ready and willing to be a servant, a slave for Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, not half-hearted, not a I can't wait till 5 o'clock kind of a Christian, not a live for the weekend kind of a Christian, but one that's all in. That's what we're after this morning. That's the goal. A person with goodwill, doing goodwill. I like that. well-minded, that's what it means. Well-minded, positive attitude. It uses the word euphemistic, and euphemistic means softened. It means polite. It means agreeable. Not a hard-hearted smart aleck, not a know-it-all, but someone that can take direction and correction without offense. That's the goal. Character that is sincere and honest. Character that serves with a smile and a spring in its step. Character that can sing when it's raining. Character that shines out in a selfish, sinful world. Character that stands up when all others have stepped away. Character that reflects our Father's character. And that's what our work is as fathers and mothers. It's the work of a lifetime. And as God develops the sweetness of His character in us, may we be His servants in helping to set the stage so that He can develop His character in our precious children. May God help us. Let's have a closing song.